Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. You know, the fall. I don't know exactly when the time is going to change, but it's getting a little darker sooner and getting a little cooler in the mornings and everything. And it kind of shows you that the time is changing. And obviously, the times are coming about for you to make a decision of what you want to do and how you want to see your city continue to grow, because it's November 3rd when you must get out there and vote. I want to just say I'm very elated and excited to have one of the top leaders in Snellville join me on my show. We've been very successful the last few months trying to talk about all about Gwinnett. We focus on some of the positive things that are going on. You know, surely you can wait and watch the news every day when you want to hear all about the bad things that are happening. Tonight we have Mr. David Manuel, who is the Snellville City Councilman for the last few years, and now he is up for re-election. And we're just going to have just a little, sit and chat and ask him a few things about what he's seen that's changed in the last few years since being, elected to this particular position at Snellville City Council. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to first help me introduce Mr. Dave Emanuel. Please, if you have any questions, all you have to do is call 1-646-478-0188, and otherwise have a pen and pad ready for you to take some great notes. Mr. Emanuel, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm doing outstanding.
Well, good.
And,
good to be
here
again.
I know you've been busy, and it's a lot of things probably that's you have to be probably working on and looking, forward to, and also looking out for as you start to run for, re-election. There's going to be good things and bad things that are going to, spurt up. But let me just ask you, I know you've had to grow thick skin, and when it comes to issues and disagreements with your job at city council. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your responsibilities and a little about some of the things that you've seen, you've been a part of, and, during your years as city councilman of Snellville, Georgia?
Sure. I was on the planning commission for 2 years.
And then you became perhaps part of your decision to run for city council. We are obviously have this individual. He is a go-getter once again, Mr. Dave Emanuel.
Okay.
Mr. Dave?
Okay, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. I dropped the call. But you can hear me now all right?
Yes, everything is perfect.
Okay. I volunteered to be on the Planning Commission in 2007, and at the time we had a lot of problems, let's say, with the existing council. And I just decided I wanted to get involved with the city, see if I could help maybe do a little bit of guiding and provide some input in terms of where we wanted the city to go and what kinds of things we were looking to pursue. It took me 2 years before I ever had any kind of a response. I would check with the person who was then the city manager and either get no response or get they haven't made a decision yet. And I thought, that's pretty rude. At least have some kind of response that we're still evaluating. We don't think you're qualified. We do, or whatever it happens to be. But finally, in 2009, I was nominated for the Planning Commission, served 2 years on the Planning Commission, and then I decided that I wanted to run for City Council because the Planning Commission is an advisory capacity, and I thought I'd like to get a little bit more involved where we would be making decisions and and helping the city move in the right direction. So I ran in 2011, and I was fortunate to run unopposed and have spent the last 4 years learning and increasing my involvement. One of the things that we had to address was the fact that we wanted to put on some events to benefit our citizens, and you need volunteers for that. And fortunately, Snailville has a great group of volunteers, and we've managed to get everything we need in terms of servicing these events. You have to get them set up, you have to have them organized, you have to have them run, and then when you're all done, you have to clean up afterwards. And I kind of made the mistake on the first event that we were talking about. Somebody said, well, we need somebody to pick up the trash and be in charge of that. And for some reason, nobody volunteered for that. So I volunteered for that, and that's kind of been my role ever since. And it just really boils down to a matter of you do whatever you need to do to make the city successful and make its events successful. So we've gotten that really in hand well. We have an organization called the Snailville Tourism and Trade Organization, and that's the group that puts on the events like the Beach Blast, the Fall Festival, the July 4th celebration, the Christmas tree lighting, which is coming up Thanksgiving weekend. So we have all of those kinds of activities going on, and the people show up in great numbers. They're really enjoyable. They're all free, and it's enjoyable for the whole family, especially the kids. We always try to have something that is of real interest and enjoyment for the kids. That's just one part, running a city. The really direct part is what the council does in terms of approving ordinances, zonings, and directing where the city is going. And one of the problems we've gotten into, as any city gets into, is that you always have conflicting interests. And we have to go through and look at what's best for the city, but also we have to stay within the laws and the ordinances. And a lot of people say, well, why did you do this and why did you do that? Well, in a lot of cases, we are bound by state law, and you have to respect people's property rights. You have to respect their ability to use those property rights, so long as they're consistent with the zoning and the other parameters that they have to abide by. So you have those kinds of things. And we've had some that are very, very controversial. And what's really ironic is that what I find is that the controversy always seems to rise when it's in process. Don't vote for this, don't vote for that, vote for this, vote for that. After the vote goes one way or the other, then it all seems to just kind of die down, and many times people who are against a specific project find out that what they were really doing is listening to people who are opposed to it, who are telling them things that were false. And when the project is finally done, they sit back and say, you know, this is really a good thing. So you have all of those different aspects of running the city. And I'm sure anybody who's familiar with Snailville knows we've had our share of negative headlines and some controversy. And that's unfortunate because it has obscured a lot of the good things that we've accomplished. And we've accomplished quite a lot in the past 4 years. I'm pretty proud of our record with the farmers market, the community garden. We have Give Hunger the Boot, we have the Cop Cab, we have the Dutchess Memorial. And the thing that I think is really something that needs to be explained to people is that so many of these things were accomplished with private donations. So let's take the Veterans Memorial as an example. We have a new destination. People come from a good distance in many cases to see the Veterans Memorial, look at the tiles on the walls, look at the people whose names are there. And that was all done with private donations. The foundation that was behind that is a 501c3, which is a nonprofit organization. And the city gets the benefit of having an attraction, and yet it didn't cost the taxpayers a dime. So those are the kinds of things we like to look at and talk about. And the thing that I'm especially proud of is the fact that, in my mind, this is a world-class memorial. This isn't just a piece of granite stuck in the ground. This is a wall with a waterfall, has a fountain in the middle, has a tower in the center of it that supports an eternal flame, and it's really quite impressive. I believe it's been on the cover of four national magazines. And that's what you need. You need that kind of positive exposure, because we want to bring success and prosperity to our city. And I think it's...
Well, Dave, you know, when you hit on those two entities, and I want to let you know that, you know, I graduated from South Gwinnett, was a prodigal son. I was on Wall Street. I, you know, left for several years. And then I, you know, after, you know, bad news and after, you know, the things that happened on Wall Street and 9/11 and then when made up with all the money, I said, I'm not banking on one Wall Street no more. I'm back here banking on Main Street. And ironically, the city street that runs right in front of Snellville City Hall is named Main Street. And I want to tell you that also I have a family of, you know, people who fought for our country. I have generals, General Bill Livesey and General Timothy Livesey, and there are so many other entities that have came to worship the Veterans Wall, and they really are so impressed about the professionalism, the beauty of it, and the location of it. And this is something that is it's a wildful situation for individuals. Moreover, I have also had the ability to go to some of the other events that you talk about, and you know, and as a person who graduated in 1980, and the demographics has changed tremendously since I was one of the only minorities on the football team, is that to see how everyone of color are hand-in-hand, laughing, joking, dancing, and doing all this, and it looks to me like a whole new city. And so when we talk about the ability for individuals who are moving to Snellville, obviously you move to Snellville, you move to a different city or entity due to perhaps the number one is housing, education, and opportunity and shopping. And Snellville has really blossomed in those ways. I mean, all kinds of restaurants, all kind of retailers, all kind of different businesses. I'm sure that you have had your hands in, you know, reaching out to these retailers and merchants and other, you know, corporations and nonprofits. Can you talk about how can individuals and merchants and how can other corporations, you know, be a part of this growth of Snellville?
I think they are a part of growth when they move into Snellville. We've had some really interesting developments in terms of new businesses coming here. And even in the height of the recession, we had a lot of businesses moving into the area. And this past week, we had a group of, I guess you could call it it's one company, but they had several different locations. And it's a manufacturing company, and they were just really excited to finally get all in one location where everybody was in the same place and to be in Snellville. And that's YSS Athletics. And they manufacture jerseys and uniforms and a variety of apparel for people literally all over the world. They have contracts with some really well-known brands like New Balance, where they create certain items, clothing items for them. And they're going to be an organization that has a lot of employment opportunities. And that's what we're looking for, because I believe that Snellville is competing with every city in the area for new businesses and new people. And you want to have an attractive city in terms of the population, capabilities, where people know they've got a really good group of volunteers there, I bet I can find some really good employees. And I think our reputation with all volunteers has helped that. We also have what I believe to be the best police department in the Southeast, if not the country. So a lot of people look to move to Snellville because the police department does such a good deal with keeping crime down. And one of the unfortunate situations is that the newspapers and TV stations will report crime in Snellville and talk about it, but what they're talking about is crime that happens outside the city. It may be a Snellville mailing address, but the crime that's occurred has been outside the city. And I've heard that we've developed a reputation among criminals that you really don't want to go to Snellville, because the chances are if you commit a crime in Snellville, you're going to wind up in jail. And the police department has an outstanding record of responding in very short period of time. And if they can't capture the people in the act or shortly thereafter, they don't give up. They just don't say, well, yeah, that happened last week or whatever. They keep on it, and they have solved a number of criminal cases that are weeks, months, and years old. That's another positive aspect for the city, because people looking to move in know that they're going to have an excellent police department, and they have that security that public safety is a top priority here, and that we do take care of those types of things. So you have a variety of companies looking at that, and when they're making their plans to either move or to expand, that plays a part in it. What also plays a part in it is the fact that, ironically, Snellville began as a merchant city. When Thomas Snell first started his store in the 1870s, he attracted business from all over the area, including Lawrenceville. And that's how Snellville really began. And it has grown and grown and grown in that regard. And Highway 124, between Highway 78 north to the city limits, has as much retail space as the Mall of Georgia. So you can pretty much find whatever you want in Snellville. And if you take the time and look at in the parking lots, a lot of times you see license plates from all of the surrounding counties. And I was out one day a few weeks ago speaking with some people and found out that they were from, I believe it was one or two counties away. It was a good distance. And I asked them why they had what they were doing in Snellville. They were eating lunch. Well, they had come to go up to one of the stores, do some shopping at one of our stores, and then they stopped for lunch. That's the kind of business we want. We want to draw people in. We want to have them spending their money here. The more business we do in Snellville, the lower we can keep the personal property taxes. So that helps as well. And it's all just part of the package that what you have to do and what you should be focused on doing to make sure you have a very successful city. So we've
and see, you were talking, and I have an individual who she's well known for doing some things, but you had something that was very, we talk about obviously education, we're talking about opportunity, we're talking about you know, housing, you know, as far as the value is to be maintained higher. But you were talking about the policing, and you had a festival going on about the safety. How did that turn out?
That was very, very well attended and very well received. And part of the situation I think people have to understand is the police can't be everywhere. So what you have to do is you have to take responsibility for your own safety, be aware of your situation, where you are, who's around you, and keep an eye out. It's an unfortunate fact of life, but that's what you have to do. You have to be very aware. It's called situational awareness. You have to be very aware of what's going on around you. It's always best to avoid a potential conflict if you can. The problem with conflicts is that they're never good. If they turn violent, they're never good for anybody. So the best situation is to avoid them. And that's a lot of what was done at that safety night. We had a variety of people, different companies out there, giving advice on how you can secure your house, how you can secure your car, some things to look out for, different options that are available, and that is what really, really helps keep crime under control, because no matter how diligent the police are, there's always going to be somebody who thinks that they're not going to get caught and they can get away with something, and there's just no way to stop that, because if you have the mentality that they'll never catch me, you're going to go out and do whatever you think you want to do. So you have to take precautions. And I always tell people, I don't know why I started thinking this way, but whenever you're driving somewhere, as you get close to your destination, start looking in your rearview mirror. Be aware of the cars around you, the cars that are behind you, the cars that may possibly be following you. I know there's been, it seems to have died down quite a bit, but a year or so ago, there seemed to be a lot of cases of women driving home, getting out of their car and being greeted by somebody who had followed them. And before they could get out of their car, the person comes up with a knife or a gun and holds them up or attempts to rape them. And the awareness of seeing a car behind you and seeing the car turn after turn after turn the same way you're going, it's good to be aware of that. Now, in 99 cases out of 100, or probably 999 out of 1,000, coincidence that the person is going the same place you are. But if you're aware of what's going on and you get a little bit concerned, you can always drive right past your house and drive to somewhere where there are a lot of people around, possibly even go to the police station. And that will pretty much convince whoever is following you to go somewhere else. So those are the kinds
of
things.
And Dave, you hit on something, and I have an individual that she's dying to come on just to first give support to what you're trying to do, and knows everything that you've done thus far. She's working with, obviously, we're talking about transportation, talking about traffic, talking about things about safety, talking about looking in the rear view mirror and people around you. There are some things that we can all do, and this individual wants to talk about, and this is empty innovation, no texting while driving, and this is something that we can all do or not do. And if you don't mind, let me see if I can bring on Ms. Tricia Bailey just to say hello.
Sure.
Ms. Tricia Bailey.
Hi, how you doing? Hello, how you doing, Dave?
I'm doing fine. How about yourself?
I'm doing great.
Well, what do you think about what Dave was just talking about, the transportation, and to look and to see and look around you when you're driving? And sometimes you get a green light. And here's one thing I tell a lot of people, Dave, just because you get a green light and you're in a hurry to get to work or in a hurry to pick up your children, in a hurry to go home or whatever, just because you get the green light, I tell people to pause for, you know, half a second. Because just because you have a green light, there might be somebody who is trying to run through this yellow-orange light to get through and can T-bone you. And normally they are texting and driving. Tricia, can you just talk a little bit about some of the involvement that you've done in Snellville about the no texting and driving and the giving the pledge for the kids and for the you know, adults and the soccer moms and the business dads? Can you say something along that level?
Sure, yes. Thank you, Tom, for allowing me to be on your show. First of all, yes, I agree exactly what Dave Emanuel was saying about you know, looking in your rearview mirror. That's one thing that's good that he said that, because I kind of do that already. But just women, just be careful of definitely of your surroundings, you know, where you are. You know, always have your keys ready to get in your car, that kind of thing. As far as with texting and driving, which is what I advocate for, that is becoming a really bad situation here in the city. I notice when I'm driving a lot, I see a lot of people, you know, they're driving and texting at the same time. And I'll kind of always stay clear of those people. You know, you always look on both sides, because when you're on the phone and you're texting, it's hard to see around you. You know, your peripheral vision is not as well. So, you know, you got to always think of that when you are when you're in the car, because there's so many more motorists here in Atlanta. So we got to look out for each other, you know, all the time.
Yeah, that, and I think that falls into this whole problem with distracted driving, and texting, I think, has become the number one cause of accidents, causes even far more accidents than drunk driving. And I think it, again, becomes a situation where electronics are great. I've got all kinds of electronic devices, and I like them all. But the problem with that becomes you get so tuned in to your, whether it's your phone, whether it's a computer, that a lot of times you let your attention stray from what you need to do. And I know I've had situations where I was driving down the road talking to somebody on the phone, and just that little bit of diversion, I missed an exit that I knew was there. But again, your attention is taken away from some of the aspect of it. I knew I was on the phone, and I was very concerned about watching the road in front of me. Well, when you're focused on the road in front of you and you have a little bit of your attention diverted, you're sometimes just not looking at the exit ramp. So that's not a problem, because obviously you just get off at the next exit, turn around and come back. But I think it just demonstrates that even just talking on the phone is a distraction. And
well, Dave, you know, we're not going to let you go without one of the biggest and most successful, endeavors that you have created or been part of, especially here in, although we do All About Gwinnett every Sunday. Thank you so much for being on the show every Sunday, you know, religiously. But we also have a situation where the economy, sometimes people have a little glitch in their finances that they need a little assistance to make sure that they have proper nutritional food for their children and their families. And can you talk a little bit about Give Hunger the Boot and why is it so passionate to you?
Sure. We started that right about 4 years ago. And the reason we got into that is I was driving into Snellville one day and I looked to my left. And at the time, the Southeast Gwinnett Co-op had a couple of trailers in the parking lot of a church along Highway 78. And it was a March day. It was cold and nasty, a little bit drizzly, and I saw people standing in line. And I thought, why in the world would anybody be standing in line in this miserable weather? So I did some research, and I found out they were standing in line to get food. And I thought, this is really above and beyond what should be going on in Gwinnett County, which is a very prosperous county. And I think it's a situation where we don't really understand that there are many, many people who are struggling. They're not homeless. They're not destitute by any stretch, but they're just struggling to make ends meet. And I started looking into it, and I found out that the Southeast Gwinnett Co-op just does an outstanding job of helping people, whether it's with food, whether it's paying their utility bills in the winter so they don't have to live in a cold house. And they just do an outstanding job. And I thought, this is something that I need to do whatever I can to help. So we started Give Hunger the Boot as an awareness program and as a means of raising donations. And we've been very successful at getting donations. The problem we have is that the demand is really beyond what you can believe. Last January, we started a competition between Snellville and Grayson to see who could raise the most donations. And in total, we raised 22,000 items, with an item being either a dollar. We considered a dollar an item, and we considered a can of food an item. And those 22,000 items would only cover about 3/4 of a month. So we have a lot of need in this area, and we're trying to help people. The thing I particularly like about the co-op is it is not building a dependency lifestyle. It is building a bridge to help people across a financial problem. And there are just one success story after another. There was one family where they had become unemployed, both husband and wife, and the husband finally found a job, and they had been clients at the Southeast Gwinnett Co-op, and he got a job, they got back on their feet, and he made a $2,000 donation to the co-op. He was appreciative of what they had done for him. They had helped him across the bridge, and he got there, and he wanted to give back. And that's what I think is really important. We sometimes forget how fortunate we are and that there are people right in our own community who are struggling. And I don't think there's anything that really demands more of our attention than helping people in our own community.
Well, I would like to challenge corporations and entities, volunteers, as we come into this, fall year, and the colder weather, whether or not it's a coat or a can of food or a dollar, like Dave said, to try to do our part every day, as little as it might seem to us, to try to help others, because, just like Dave said, the appreciation, those who are very sincere about the help that you've given them and showed them, and the love that you shared, is something that we need to do. I want to close out with you to tell us what and why do you want to continue to become a councilman for Snellville?
Well, sometimes I ask myself that same question when we see some of the junk that's thrown at us and the lies and the false statements. But it all goes back to the same basic premise that I looked at when I ran the first time, is that I want to help. I want to be part of a solution, not part of a problem. And by being on the council, making good decisions, putting the city's best interest first and the citizens' interest first, I think we can really make Snellville the shining star that it should be in terms of being the focus of this part of Gwinnett County, being successful and offering people something better than they can get anywhere else. And that's what we're looking forward to. Unfortunately, we've got some people who are involved in the political arena who are looking to benefit themselves at the expense of our citizens. And as long as I'm on the council, I'm going to do everything I can to prevent that. It's called public service for a reason. You go into these situations, you go into these positions because you want to serve the public. And I thought it was ironic that there was a number of mailers that were sent out earlier in this election season, and they had put my cell phone number on the mailer. And I think that was supposed to be something that they considered negative, that we would say, oh my gosh, look at what happened, my cell phone number's out there. I've been advertising my cell phone number for 4 years. If people have a question, I want them to call me. And I thought, this is really unusual. I've never before had somebody else pay to get my phone number in front of voters so they could contact me.
And
I thought, this
Dave,
is
as we
great.
Close, November 3rd, if you hadn't already, can you give the voting locations for individuals who are living inside the city of Snellville?
Sure.
If you have hours or locations, can they vote? And please vote.
Municipal elections, city elections, are always held at City Hall. So regardless of what city you're in, if you're voting for city council or mayor, you go to the City Hall location. In Snellville, we have early voting that goes on Monday through Friday this week. It started October 12th, and it extends through October 30th. You can go in between the hours of 8 and 5. At City Hall, you go in, it probably takes you 5 to 10 minutes. You don't typically have to wait in line, so you can get in and out really quickly and fill out your ballot. And that way, you don't have to worry about running there on Election Day. Now, Election Day is November 3rd. Again, you vote at City Hall in the hours of 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So you can go in and vote on that day. And a lot of people just like the tradition of voting on Election Day. So that's a 12-hour time period, so that hopefully they can either get there before work or after work and cast their ballot. And I encourage everybody to vote. It's it's really a right and a privilege, and a lot of people don't take advantage of that. And you're ultimately the say-so, and it's especially important in city elections because we've had elections that have been won by 6 or 7 votes. So people say, my vote doesn't count. It really does. And it's really important that you get out there and exercise your right to vote.
Well, Mr. Dave Emanuel, Snellville City Councilman, thanks again for being on the show. Vote. No matter who you vote for, vote. Now do the research yourself. But there are individuals who are out there representing you, trying to help you, and trying to help our city continue to grow and be a shining star in the county of Gwinnett County. Thank you so much for everyone listening in, and see you next year.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks very much.